Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, September 25th, about 2.5 hours pre-equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. We've had a lot of economic updates over the last 5 trading days, and so we'll dive into some of those. But all in all, everything has kind of been dampened down from a volatility standpoint. So we're looking at an S&P from last podcast down just shy of 0.5%, Dow 0.33%. Same with the NASDAQ. The Russell taking the brunt of most of the downturn at about 2%, gold down about 0.1%, and actually the 10-year yield up almost 2%. So you kind of have some push and pull when it comes to those dynamics, especially coming pretty fresh off of a Fed announcement where we cut 25 basis points on the Fed fund rate. And we can jump into Carl's corner as to what we're looking at going forward for the October and the December meet. But what I will say is, before we do that, Carl, what everyone sort of anticipates with the month of October is these bursts of volatility, and typically October gets blamed for volatility to the downside. But the reality is, and I learned this a long time ago, the reality is the lows are made in October, from October to April of the following year. So if we do see some sort of like mild downturn, which I'm not so convinced that we will, because of that October meet that you're going to give us some info on. But just know that is the low, historically, the low going into the best 6 months, which is November through April. But anyways, jumping into Carl's corner, what do we have on the Fed watch?
So, and to piggyback off of what you're saying and what we've talked about on this podcast many times, especially when it comes to market versus interest rates, is when we are in a decelerating interest rate environment, everything else is kind of just noise, and you just need to pay attention to interest rates, because the interest rates help the velocity of money. And when the velocity of money is high and there's money changing hands very frequently, that does really well for the market. And with October being one of the worst months of the year, historically it is, but we also have a Fed meeting in the middle of it. Well, actually at the end of it. And right now, there's an 85% probability chance of another rate cut, right? And obviously, this will be, you know, October 9th is the 20 days before time. So obviously, the probabilities are going to shift around. There's PCE tomorrow and everything like that. And like we've already discussed, these are fluid. But right now, an 85% chance, at least if it doesn't happen in October, means it's going to happen in December, unless something drastic happens. And so that means we're looking at another, at least one, if not two rate cuts, just before the end of the year, which is fantastic for the market, and which is why we positioned ourselves in very interest rate sensitive environment and in those strategic industries. And so when we're looking at PCE, tomorrow is the major one. PCE is the one that the Fed uses the most. There is a good chance that PCE comes in at what we projected or slightly below what we projected. So the previous was 0.3. We're anticipating 0.2, which means that is going to increase the probabilities of a rate cut in October. GDP is up from 3.3 to 3.8. Unemployment claims are down. Goods, orders, everything is going up the way we need it to go up. And the more all these other great economic indicators go up, the better chance we have of a rate cut in October.
That's right. And to reiterate your point, as rates go down, markets go up. And it's very simple as to why that happens. And it does go back to the velocity of money, because that money has to go somewhere, right? It initially will go into the economy, and the economy will then push it into various sectors in the market. The main benefactors of that, beneficiaries of that, are, you know, like the building, construction, real estate, and then equities. And even in this environment, treasuries should benefit from that. And so Two, also, one thing we need to make sure we don't miss on this is we see how many insurance carriers have you gotten reached out to this week? I have to imagine as many as me that are decreasing their fixed rates. And the reason for that is everyone's anticipating lower rates into the end of the year. And that very simply translates into higher equity prices.
Absolutely. And including what people don't talk about a lot is the money markets are starting to slowly decrease down as well. And money is a little bit cheaper than it was even a month or two ago.
Well, that's right. And you're also starting to see the yield curve start to flatten a bit where it's been inverted for 3+ years now. We're starting to see that sort of flatten, which is a sign of economic health. And you're also seeing one of my favorites, which is copper, who we own in the portfolio, start to accelerate, which is always historically been sort of a gauge of the breadth of the global economy, right? So it's not just about the US, although we are pretty focused in domestically at the moment. We are exploring options internationally as well. But you're seeing even the ECB, the European Central Banks, are decreasing rates. And so these are things that we pay attention to. Japanese yen, that's something that we always pay attention to. These are very strong forward-leaning indicators that can point towards what we can expect in our domestic equity environment. And so everything really looks positive, in my opinion. And to your point that you made earlier, we have positioned these portfolios to be in these interest rate sensitive sectors for a very good reason. And we just spelled out why that is because everything's pointing towards lower interest rates, which means those sectors should accelerate. So I'm very pleased with that. Other than that, we don't have major things. Of course, we deal with this multiple times a year. But we are kind of eyeing, a possible government shutdown and what that could lead to from an investment standpoint. Right now, the market, in my opinion, you tell me yours. In my opinion, if the market was very spooked by this, we would already see that being priced in because we're only, what, 4 trading days away from it. So I don't have a real nervous feeling about if they were to let that happen. I don't have a real nervous feeling about that happening this time around, as opposed to like 2013 or 2011. We've seen this story before. I think the market's used to it at this point. And so I wanted to mention that because that is going to be a big news story between now and next week's podcast.
I'm 100% agreeing with you. I don't believe that there's going to be that shutdown, and because if the market would react more swiftly than this, if there is a better chance of that actually happening. And so, just reading the market as it is, yes, it is down, especially five trading days ago. I just don't see it happening. I think there's too many good things out there in the economy. I think with the decelerating interest rate environment, I think everything is pointing too far up that I don't think that's going to be a government shutdown. They're going to come back to the table Monday or Tuesday before the day, get it all signed over, kick it down the road another 6 months. We've seen this story 100 times before this. More than likely, it's going to end up happening. But we will be sitting, watching, preparing in case that does happen. Just know we do have our eyes on the market as it does.
Yeah, absolutely. And my point is, even if it were to happen, I think the market would have already expressed some concern about that. And a 0.5% is not a clear indication that it is stressed about the idea of a government or partial government shutdown. So, and again, to your point, there's too many backstops behind this, such as interest rates, such as PCE, such as GDP, such as unemployment claims, all being in the positive direction. I just think there's too many positive factors that will ultimately override what would typically be volatility in that scenario. I don't have any, unfortunately, Carl, I don't have any really good stats for this week. The only good one that I have is pretty much, I guess old news, but the probabilities of any sort of recession came dramatically down from this time last year. I mean, dramatic. It's like down below 4%. So here again, that's another positive indicator that the equity markets are pointing in the right direction. We talked about 6% into the end of the year. That was that stat, historical stat. And then a big stat for 2026, which would ultimately be supported by decreasing interest rates. So again, we just have this convergence of all these positive econ indicators. I have nothing but positive mindset for our portfolios going into the balance of this year and through especially through 2026. But with that, I don't have anything else. Do you?
No, just if you feel anybody might enjoy our market commentary, if you feel forward us on over to them, we're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Perfect. Well, with that, then we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.